Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, July 28, 2024, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So verse 23 says, "But I discover a different principle in the members of my human body, going to war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner to the law, to the principle of the sin nature, which sin nature is in the members of my body." So, one, Romans 7:23 emphasizes the aggressiveness and the war, this aggressiveness of the sin nature in this war going on inside of all of us. Every believer in Jesus Christ in the church age, this war is going on inside of each one of us. To use two military terms to present this. So Romans 7:23 emphasizes the aggressiveness of the sin nature in this war that is going on inside of every church age believer. Two, the sin nature with its lust patterns and its trends towards sin, that's the area of weakness of the sin nature. Trend toward human good, that's the strength of the sin nature, but it still comes from the sin nature, and evil. That is our enemy. Now Satan is our enemy. He's the ruler of planet Earth. He's got an inside agent in each one of us. That inside agent is the sin nature. And when we succumb to the temptations of the sin nature and say yes to them, get out of fellowship with God, that gets us right into Satan's cosmic system. And then, if you don't use God's grace provision of rebound, 1 John 1:9, and get back into fellowship with God, and you get into Satan's cosmic system, you stay there, well, you will be in full-blown reversionism. You'll function under interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred, and you will go through, you will be the most miserable person on the face of the earth. And that's coming up in the next verse. I am a wretched person. I am a wretched, miserable person. That's the testimony of every reversionist in time. They are wretched and miserable. They're going through. What are they going through? Well, first of all, God loves us with infinite virtue love. He doesn't want to see any of us crash and burn. He doesn't want to see him. And so, because he loves us, he spanks us. Divine discipline. And that's Hebrews 12, and he disciplines us because he loves us. And that he starts out with, well, usually you start out with self-induced misery, you bring it on yourself, and then if you don't turn around and rebound, you get into warning discipline, and that's designed to get you to wake up and rebound, get back into fellowship with God, and start making good decisions to live the spiritual life. If you don't wake up, warning discipline, you go to intensive discipline. If you don't wake up with intensive discipline, you're in dying discipline. And there's some people, and even in the Bible, that got all the way to dying discipline, and then finally, they woke up. The incestuous Corinthian. He got into all the way to dying discipline, and then woke up. Rebound, got back in fellowship with God with positive volition and humility, and it turned everything around. But when you are a reversionist, and sad to say, we're living in apostasy and degeneracy in America, most Christians are wretched, miserable people. They're believers in Jesus Christ. They're going to be in heaven forever and ever. But they are here on this earth, wretched, miserable people, going from suffering to suffering to suffering, but it's all punitive suffering. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do it. Somewhere along the line, you just got to, after you get clobbered and clobbered and clobbered, somewhere along the line, you just got to say, enough is enough. That's it. It's a joke, but I can't tell you that joke. If you want to hear that joke, come back and I'll tell you. And a joke's not funny if it isn't dirty, so there you go. Yeah. Romans 7:23 emphasizes the aggressiveness of the sin nature in this war that's going on inside of us. Two, the sin nature with its lust patterns and its trends of sin, human good and evil is our enemy. Three, to be made a prisoner to the sin nature while we are here in phase two, in time, it results in becoming a casualty in the angelic conflict. To be made a prisoner to the sin nature in phase two is to become a casualty in the angelic conflict. God doesn't want that to happen to any of you. Four, the headquarters of the sin nature is the members of the human body. The headquarters of the sin nature is the members of the human body. Five, from the sin nature's headquarters in the human body, it makes its attack on the soul. Now you have a guardian of your soul. The guardian of your soul is your free will, your volition, and all you have to say is no. The temptation will keep coming. But when the temptations come, all you have to say is no. And you have the power of the Spirit of God. And as you learn the Word of God, you have the power of the Word of God. You know. And so you just say, no, I'm not going there. I've been there. I've done that. I got the disciplined. And I've taught these things so many times and had people in here, young people, and they knew everything about this, and then they left the church. They left the church, and they were gone for, I never saw. See, I used to see people that were here every class, every night, that was, and then they were gone. And then months later, maybe even a year or two later, all of a sudden, hell, walk in, come all the way down. Pastor Olson, you know everything you taught about reversionism? I go, yes, it was true. You know everything you taught about divine discipline? Yes, it was true. The warning discipline was true. The intensive discipline was true. I believe it now. I said, okay, well, better late than never. Glad. So the old sin natures, from the old sin nature's headquarters in the human body, it makes its attack on the soul. Point six, the old sin nature's attack on the soul is deterred by the filling of the Spirit and the Word of God that you have learned and believed and is in your heart. That motivates you to use your free will, use your volition, and say no. Seven, the sin nature indwells the human body and the Holy Spirit indwells the human body, and they are at war with each other to take control of your soul. And that's the summary that's in Galatians 5, 16 and 17. But that's, where did Paul get that? That Galatians 5 was written after, way after Romans. So he came to this conclusion in the study in the chapter on Romans 7. And then he gives the summary of it later in Galatians 5. So the sin nature indwells the human body, the Holy Spirit indwells the human body, and they are at war with each other to try to take control of your soul. But you're in charge. You got a free will. Point eight. Any of us can become a POW, a prisoner of war to the sin nature overnight. Any of us. Any of us can become a POW, prisoner of war, to the sin nature overnight. Just using your free will to make bad decisions and say yes to the temptations from the sin nature. Nine, the only way you can win this war is to use your free will to make good decisions. Say no to the temptations and make good decisions. Good decisions for God. Good decisions for the Word of God. Good decisions to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Good decisions to advance to maturity and become a winner believer. Good decisions to glorify God and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. So the only way you can win this war is to make good decisions from your free will, your volition. 10, when you fail to grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, then the sin nature will be the inevitable winner. When you fail to grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the sin nature will be the inevitable winner. And you become a prisoner of war to the sin nature. You become a prisoner of war to the sin nature. That's what we had in these two military terms. Antistratelomai and eichmalotizo. Two military terms. The one is going to war against you and the other one is making you a prisoner. So when you fail to grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the sin nature will be the inevitable winner. You will become a prisoner of war, a prisoner of war to the sin nature. 11, being a prisoner of war to the sin nature results in a life of great misery and divine discipline. Punitive suffering. Being a prisoner of war to the sin nature results in a life of great misery and divine discipline. Warning discipline, intensive discipline, and if you don't turn around, dying discipline. 12. The only way to be victorious in this spiritual war is to live this unique spiritual life by the grace and power of God. The grace and power of God. Advance to spiritual maturity. Have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. So verses 22 and 23. What a contrast. Verse 22. For I delight, I'm pleased with, I rejoice, I am happy in the law from the source of God, the Word of God with respect to the inner man, my soul. The Word of God in my heart results in great happiness and rejoicing. But the contrast, verse 23, but I discover a different principle in the members of my human body, going to war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner to the law of the sin nature, which sin nature is in the members of my human body. All right. Now that brings us to verse 24. And here in verse 24 is the testimony of every reversionist. The testimony of every reversionist, verse 24. O wretched man that I am. O wretched man that I am. And this is the nominative singular of anthropos, modified by the adjective talaiporos, with the personal pronoun ego. Anthropos, A-N-T-H-R, long O-P-O-S, anthropos. Anthropos is the generally translated man, but this is the generic term for mankind. It includes all males and females, men and women. Anthropos is modified by a very important adjective, talaiporos. Looks like that in the Greek, T-A-L-A-I-P, long O-R-O-S, talaiporos. Now, talaiporos is only found two times in the New Testament scriptures. It's used by the Apostle Paul in our verse, Romans 7:24. The only other time this word is used is by the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. And so, turn over to Revelation chapter 3. You always know the meaning of a word by how it's used. Well, it's only used two times, so we'll look at the other time it's used. Revelation chapter 3, verse starting at verse 14. Revelation 3 starting at verse 14. This is the message to Laodicea. Revelation 3, 14 to 22. It starts out to the angel, probably better to the messenger of the church in Laodicea. Write. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. These are all titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. He is the one who created creation and who rules creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. Cold, if you're an unbeliever, all you got to do is believe in Christ. That's simple. That's cold. Hot, you're a winter believer. I wish you were either cold or hot. Cold, you can hear the grace gospel and believe in Jesus Christ and you're saved. Hot, you're a winter believer. But you're not cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to vomit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are talipouros, wretched. You don't realize you're wretched. This is Jesus Christ telling you. You are talipouros. That's our word. You are wretched. And then the next word, pitiful. That's a pitiful translation, pitiful. Eleinos. This is the other word. Next to wretched is eleinos. E-L-E-E-I-N-O-S. And that means miserable. You are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Verse 19, those whom I love, I rebuke, warning discipline. Who is doing this? Jesus Christ. And what is the motivation? His love. He disciplines us because he loves us. Those whom I love, I rebuke, warning discipline, and punish, intensive discipline. So be earnest and repent. Change your thinking. Rebound. Get back into fellowship. You're out of fellowship, you're in reversionism. Rebound and then start making good decisions. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. That Jesus, when Jesus Christ is standing at the door and knocking, that's divine discipline. This is not a passage for salvation. This is not a salvation passage. Have you seen anything here? All the way down. What is this? Jesus Christ writing to reversionists, believers who are reversionistic believers, who have made bad decisions. And now they're going through warning discipline. Those whom I love, I rebuke, warning discipline. I punish intensive discipline. So be earnest and repent, rebound, get back into fellowship. Here I am. I'm standing at the door and knocking. When Jesus Christ is knocking on the door, that's divine discipline. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, rebound. You change your thing. You get back into fellowship with God. This is not a salvation passage, and this has been used that way by so many fundy people that don't know you know what from Shinola. They don't. This has nothing to do with salvation. Absolutely never was, never will be. It's not a salvation passage, and no one's ever saved by inviting Christ into a sewer. You don't invite Christ anywhere. He invites you to believe in him.
for salvation. Salvation is believe in Jesus Christ, and that's it. Not inviting Christ into your life, not inviting Christ into your heart, that's you doing the invitation. God invites you to believe in Jesus Christ. God does the inviting, and you simply place your faith in Him. You don't do a work. Inviting Christ into your heart or life is works. It's a false gospel. No one will be in heaven by doing that. It's by faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. So, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, rebound. Now you're back into fellowship with God. And what's the demonstration of fellowship? I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Now you're back into fellowship with God. To him who is a winner believer, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I am a winner believer, winner, and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So this is the church at Laodicea was a church full of reversionists. And the only other time this word talai poros is used is in Romans 7:24 and then in Revelation 3 verse 17. So, one, talai poros means wretched, wretched, miserable, distressed. Talai poros means wretched, miserable, distressed. Two, talai poros describes the despair that comes to the believer in reversionism. Describes the despair that comes to the believer in reversionism. Three, Romans 7:24 presents the horrible state of the reversionist. The horrible state of the reversionist. It describes what happens to the believer in reversionism. Four, talai poros expresses the disaster of the reversionistic life. And because God loves you, He loves you because you have His imputed righteousness. And so He loves you with infinite virtue love because you have His righteousness. And because He loves you, He will discipline you. He doesn't want to see you fall off the cliff and crash and burn. That's not what God wants to see any of you do. And so because He loves you and He can love you with infinite virtue love because you have His imputed righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ, faith alone in Christ alone apart from any and all works. And so because He loves you, you have His righteousness. He will discipline you. When you get into reversionism, warning discipline, intensive discipline, if you don't wake up, dying discipline. So talai poros expresses the disaster of the reversionistic life. The nominative case is the nominative of exclamation. Wretched and miserable man that I am. Wretched and miserable man that I am. Personal pronoun, ego, I. Now, Paul is not miserable, and Paul is not wretched. God the Holy Spirit has led the Apostle Paul to take the position of the reversionist in order to express the testimony of every reversionist. And this is the testimony of every reversionist. The to be verb a me has been left out by ellipsis, but it must be supplied
to the translation. So the corrected translation. I am a wretched and miserable person. The testimony of every reversionistic believer. And then, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Okay. Come back next week. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Father, we are always amazed at your tremendous grace to us, all the blessings you give us. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.